I'm just going to pray before I begin, actually. Father God, I just thank you this morning that we are able to worship you in spirit and truth. That we're able, Lord God, to know that we're in your presence this morning. And thank you, Lord, that you dwell and move amongst us and prompt us. Lord, help us by your spirit this morning to be prompted, to hear what you're saying, Lord God, and to take it on board in our lives. To realise that the Holy Spirit is so important to us, and that we recognise what he does for us and how he does it. In this talk this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are moving on then, and the path to victory that we've been on, a series of talks. I've not been in too many of the morning talks lately, so this is my return. The guys are good to give me a break for a while. Okay, so we're talking about the Spirit of God, and I'm looking at the sort of subject of how does the Spirit of God empower us. And help us. How does he lead us? How does he prompt us to live our lives? And how does he help us on the path to victory? This morning I'm going to use the example of Jesus to do this. And how Jesus was empowered by the Spirit to live his life and to overcome Satan at the very beginning of his ministry. I'm going to be looking at the temptation of Christ. I'm not going to be looking at it in any way about how Satan tried to tempt him, or how he did that. But what I'm going to be looking at is how Jesus overcame Satan. What prepared him, how he went through the temptation, and what was the outcome of that. And how that should be relevant to how we live our lives, and how we are also empowered by the Spirit. It's a big subject, and I'm only going to be looking at a very small part of it. Our focus then is on the Holy Spirit, the role that he played in the life of Jesus, during, and after the temptation. I'm going to read this morning from Matthew. I'm going to read the whole account, but I'm not going to be referring to the specific temptations. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from verse 13 to 17, and then chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Just to give the full account, what happened before and what happened during. Okay, verse 13 of chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up unto the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, an angel came and ministered to him. If you ever wanted to see what it was to be filled with the Spirit, this is the account. Well, obviously Jesus being fully God and fully man is the best example that we have in the Bible. In Luke's account, same as Matthew, Verse 1 mentions that the Holy Spirit says this twice. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. The word led here has the idea of being led by the hand. But of course it's more than that, because we know that he wasn't just led by the Spirit, but he was, if you like, drove into the wilderness. And when we're looking at this whole account, we should think of it like this. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. He led him through the wilderness and out of the wilderness. There was never a moment when he was left alone. Even in his weakened physical condition, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, having no energy whatsoever, being stripped of all energy that you could be provided by food and by water, Jesus entered the wilderness led by the Holy Spirit to face his adversary, Satan. The wilderness was true temptation, but Jesus did not agonize one moment about this. Why? Because Jesus was full of the Spirit when he went into the desert. After defeating Satan, he came out of the desert. I keep wanting to say desert. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. After coming out, defeating Satan, he was full. He came out of the desert. How did he do that? He went into the wilderness, full of the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Something happened to Jesus as a result of the victory that he had over Satan. The Holy Spirit's power became evident and obvious in his life. Remember, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry that we're looking at. Luke wants us to know that Jesus went into the desert full of the Spirit, and then he came out of the desert full of the Spirit. Both before and after, he was full of the Spirit and fully led by the Spirit. Having defeated the devil, the Spirit's power became very pronounced in his life. And everything that Jesus did was Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. And as a man full of the Spirit, he impacted upon the life of many. And many at this stage were praising him. But should we be surprised or overwhelmed about the experience that Jesus had to go through, having to face his adversary, Satan? Well, we have to face temptation all the time. We have to face the trials and the tribulations. And when we refuse to lower our standards, when we refuse to sin, and when we say yes to righteousness, when we refrain from evil words and look to Jesus and look to the Spirit to help us through every fiery trial, then we come out of that experience with renewed confidence, with renewed zest, full of the Spirit. It's amazing when you're able to say no to temptation, when you overcome that desire. And then, of course, you know you've done right, you've done righteous things, and you feel more full of God, I suppose, more godly. When I'm looking at the temptation of Jesus, five things jumped out at me. And I want to look at them very quickly. The first thing that happened before Jesus went in to face the trial was obedience. The whole story about this trial for Jesus was all an act of obedience. First of all, when all the people were being baptized, that I looked at the start, Jesus was baptized too. And he tells us that it was a baptism, was an act of righteousness. And by submitting to baptism, even though he had never sinned or would ever sin, and he had no sins to confess, he took a step of obedience to show the people that he was the Son of God and that he was obedient to his Father. And after the baptism of obedience, we have the assurance. While Jesus was being baptized, two extraordinary things happened. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And after that, the second amazing thing that happened was the seal of approval, divine approval. When God the Father spoke, "You are my Son in whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Here, before the temptation begins, we have the Spirit of God coming upon the Son of God and the Father, God, approving it all. The entire Trinity is revealed at this point. Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit descending upon him, the dove, and the voice of the Father. What greater assurance could there be that Jesus was the Messiah? And what greater assurance would he need to know that when he was going in to face the enemy, that he was fully with God in the Trinity? So we have obedience, we have assurance, and then we have the testing. Immediately following the story of the baptism, Jesus enters into the trial and the temptations that Satan attacks him with. And then we have power. After the time of testing is over, Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And as news around spread from town to town, everyone was praising him and worshipping him and welcoming him. Something happened to Jesus in the wilderness when he defeated the devil, and he returned from his victory in the power of the Spirit. And then we have victory, and of course we can tie the victory into our path to victory, which I'm going to do. Following Jesus' victory over Satan, he returns to the synagogue in the account in Luke. And he returns to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And standing up, he begins to read this, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. So far we've seen Jesus at the baptism, Jesus' obedience, God blessing him, the Spirit coming upon him, the time of testing in the wilderness, the power of which he's left the wilderness now with the Spirit of God upon him. And now he stands up in the synagogue and claims the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. And after finishing that reading, he makes the claim, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And at these words, he is shown who he is and what he came to do. From Nazareth, he went down to Capernaum, into the fishing village in Galilee. And when he spoke on the Sabbath to the people there, they were amazed at his teaching because of his authority. So everything has been coming along here with the Spirit of God upon him, and everything is now changing. So we look at this sequence of events. We've got obedience, assurance, testing, power, and victory. And all of these things because the Spirit of God has come upon him. And throughout his time in the wilderness, Jesus comes out of that ordeal in the power of the Spirit. So I want to look briefly at the temptation. Excuse me, speaking too fast. Why do we need temptations and trials? God uses temptations and trials to release spiritual power in us, in your life. Martin Luther said this and remarked this about a minister of God or a man of God. There are three things that you must have, face, or be prepared to go through. Meditation, prayer, and temptation. Meditation, I understand. Prayer, I understood. Temptation. The first refers to meditation on the Word of God. We all should know that as believers in here this morning. The second thing is prayer, and we should all have consistent and effective prayer lives. Really important. But what about the third one, temptation? Does this mean that I have to go, and by the way, I don't have to do this because he's good at doing this himself, but does that mean I have to go and try and pick a battle or an argument with Satan and try and improve my godliness and, you know, my life with God? No, it doesn't. Not at all. Neither does it mean that I should run from my spiritual battles when they come. No one can ever grow spiritually without first facing strong temptations or trials. Any trial can become a temptation if you let it happen. We're not led into temptations, we're led into trials. But it only becomes a temptation if you lose your temper or break your promise or compromise in your values or trade in your integrity, or if you card behind something else, if you sin. The same event will be often be used as a temptation and a trial. God leads us into trials or a test, but Satan will almost use that as a temptation. The very same event will be used by both. One is a trial and a test, and the other is a temptation. And God uses a trial to accomplish one thing in our life, and Satan will use that in another way to try and accomplish the complete opposite. So what God is trying to use for our good, Satan will try and hijack to use for our downfall and our temptation into sin. The very same event both a trial and a test can be used in these two ways. God uses it to accomplish one thing. Satan uses it to accomplish totally opposite to what God wants. So looking at the temptation of Jesus offers a clear example of this principle that I'm talking about. We know that the devil came to Jesus while he was in the wilderness, while he was weak, while he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan came to tempt him, to turn him away from the path of obedience that he had to his Father. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who did the leading? The Holy Spirit. Who did the tempting? Satan. Is there a contradiction here in what I'm saying? Did God not know what was going to happen when his Son was led into the desert? Yes, he did. He intended it from the beginning to demonstrate that his Son would not yield to Satan. Was God tempting his Son? No, he wasn't. Was God putting his Son in a place where Satan could tempt him? The answer must be yes. So how do trials become temptations? It is true that time to time God allows us, his children, to go into a place where we will face severe trials. But Satan will use those as temptations. Is God responsible for my severe temptation? No, he's not. Who does the leading? The Holy Spirit. Who does the tempting? Satan. And from God's viewpoint, it's a test. From Satan's viewpoint, it's temptation. So when you're entering a trial, or you're going through the difficulty, you've got to look at it as either being a test or a temptation. We see this pattern occurring in our everyday life. God sends a trial and Satan uses that as a temptation. Suppose, for example, you have a fantastic job and everything's going great and you lose your job. You could look at it two ways. You could look at it and say, well, God has something better for me. He has a better purpose for me. He has a better place for me to go. He wants to do something different in my life. He wants to place me somewhere where I can be more effective. He wants to see how I'm going to react to this. And then Satan comes in with a temptation. God doesn't love you. God doesn't love your family. God doesn't want you to have all these good things. Look what he's doing. You've lost your job. He doesn't care about you anymore. And all of a sudden you have the trial and the temptation. The trial is you stick, you stay strong, you stay in prayer, you continue on in God's word, knowing that the Spirit of God is with you and strengthening you, or you ignore that and you go straight to the temptation and you rebuke God for everything that's going on in your life and say, you don't care about me. The fact is that losing your job could be the way that God is building your spiritual character in your life and is going to lead you into something else. You may have fallen in love with the world, in love with your job, in love with everything that you have, and therefore it's becoming more important in your life than the job. That's another way of looking at it. We cannot fathom the way that God moves in our lives. But what we know is when God's doing something like that that's dramatic, you've got to hold on to the power of the Spirit of God working in your life, and don't let Satan discourage or turn you to anger or despair. It's part of the path to victory. It's quite an extreme example I'm trying to put across, but it's nowhere near as extreme as the example of Jesus going through the wilderness. Testings and trials are a normal part of our Christian life. They are part of the way that God wants to strengthen us, build us up, and make us more effective. He puts difficult choices in front of us every single day. But by following him and by trusting in him, those circumstances will be the very things that will make you stronger. Your faith becomes confirmed and you become an example to other people when you have victory over the world, over the flesh and over Satan. There's nothing you can do to escape the trials of this life. Nothing at all. All the trials we have are there to test us and hopefully to make us stronger. So let's look again very quickly at what happened to Jesus in the wilderness when he was being faced by Satan. Consider the sequence. He was first led by the Spirit that he might be tested. He was tested that he might be prepared. And he was prepared that he might be empowered. I heard that this morning in one of the prayers. Jesus was led to be tested tested that he may be prepared, and prepared that he might be empowered. What a wonderful sequence. It's wonderful when you're able to stand here and preach on it because you can see it, but it's not so wonderful when you're going through it. Jesus was fully equipped, full of the Holy Spirit, when he was facing Satan, and nothing else would be good enough. So from the high point of his baptism, Jesus was led into the desert of temptation. God never intends that we stay on the mountaintops of spiritual ecstasy forever. You can't. It's impossible. But when you're up on the mountaintop, when you're in the wonderful place that everything's going right in your life, and you have a moment of blessing, and God's blessing you here, there, and everywhere, and you feel like everything's going well. Remember, Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Everything's going well. Be prepared to move from that moment into the wilderness of the desert. Because when you're in the highs, be sure that the lows are never too far away. And then you begin to think, well, you know, why would God do that to me? I don't need to be in the lows because I'm on the highs, and the highs are brilliant. But it's the lows that you go through. It's those moments when you're being built up. If you keep focused on the trial instead of the temptation, then you can be sure that when you come through it, you will be stronger than when you went into it. Sooner or later, you've got to come down from the mountaintop and enter into the valley of trouble. That's where most people are, and where most people live out their lives. That's where the problems are, but that's when we learn to look at God for the solutions and the Spirit of God to strengthen us. That's where you prove the reality of your faith. You have to go into the valley, and you have to go into the desert. And the desert is where the Holy Spirit will lead you sooner rather than later. Don't think for one minute that it's you leading you into the desert. Who would lead you into the desert? It has to be the Spirit of God who is leading us. And if you try to stay on the mountaintop for too long, he will bring you down with a bang. So we've got to go into the valley sooner rather than later. The Spirit himself will lead you there. And most of us will go back to the wilderness many times. There is no other path to victory than the one that Jesus has so clearly shown us this morning. So what do you do if you find yourself in the wilderness? Remember, we're talking about the Spirit of God, and I'm trying to demonstrate that the Spirit of God who is leading us on all of these steps. So remember these truths. You are not there by accident. The Spirit of God has led you there. So when you're in the trial, tribulation, whatever it is, believe me, God, by the Spirit, has put you in there. You are not there alone. The Spirit of God will be with you. So when it's all going down, everything's crumbling, be sure that the Spirit of God is there with you. And then you will not be there forever, because like the Holy Spirit led Jesus out of the wilderness and sustained him in the whole time, the Holy Spirit will also sustain us and be with us and lead us out of that period of time. When God's purposes in your life have been accomplished, the Spirit will lead you out of the wilderness, and you will become stronger in your faith than when you went in. That is what I hold on to, that at the end of everything that I'm going through, it will be a better outcome. I remember Taddy once said to me, and I laughed. I was always going through things, and I said, "Taddy, this is terrible." Bah. And Taddy said to me, "You know, I always hold on to this." He said, "Most people say they see the light at the end of the tunnel." He said, "Unfortunately for me, it's a steam train coming." And I always giggle, because you think when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's going to be it. But for me, I always end up in another desert. And then God never leaves us in the wilderness for long. And he doesn't leave us there to destroy us. He intends it to be a time of testing to make us stronger. So think of the desert like this. Victory is in the desert. Holiness is in the desert. Spiritual growth is in the desert, and the Holy Spirit is always there with you. Odd as it might seem to us, when we are most filled with the Holy Spirit, we are most likely to be led into the wilderness. Not odd. The moment you feel great and the Holy Spirit's in your life and things are changing, this is great, 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 into the wilderness you go. I've got to tell you this. The wilderness is not about you. It's about what God can do and the work that he is going to accomplish in you. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He came out in the power of the Spirit. Remember that. So when you're going into your desert or your wilderness, you're being led in by the Spirit, but you're going to come out in the power of the Spirit. And He is going to be the one that is going to strengthen you. And the same happens to us. Believe that God is at work in every trial. And never view it as Satan. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to focus on the trial as being a temptation that's been put there for you and your downfall. It's the complete opposite. Focus on the trial as being a testing and an outcome, not a temptation and a failure. We are no longer walking this life in the flesh. Romans 8 tells me this morning that I am not under condemnation any longer for those who are in Jesus. In that chapter, chapter 8, it talks a lot about the Spirit of God and what He does for us. So, number one, no matter the accusation or the lie that Satan is leveling at you this morning, you are no longer under condemnation. Nothing he can say can condemn you any longer. We are no longer walking according to the flesh and the ways of this world. Because the Spirit is in us, we are now filled with the Holy Spirit, and He now leads us and directs us. So like Jesus going through the wilderness, He was comforted and He was guided and sustained and brought out in the power. We are also full of the Holy Spirit. We have the greatest power this world can give, far greater than anything this world could offer us. And yet so many of us fail to recognize the power that we have and what we can do. So we've got to realize that we are walking in the very same power that empowered Jesus. We are now spiritually minded. We are now spiritually gifted to serve God and others through the Spirit. This is, you've heard this 100 times. You've heard it 1,000 times. But then actually the penny drops and you realize, I'm powerful. I can do anything in Christ who strengthens me through the Spirit. So just, this is going to sound really stupid. But could you imagine? If Jesus wanted to have abused His power anyway, He could have just jumped up and flew about. So look at me. I'm Son of God. But that's not how it's to be used. It's to be used so that we are demonstrating what God can do in and through us to the unbelieving world and to others that we are with, other believers. Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and even though through His trials He never sinned or gave in to Satan's demands, it's virtually impossible for me to say I'm never going to sin. It is impossible. I am a sinner. But we are to try and do the same things because we are new creations in Jesus. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit and now the Spirit lives within us. We are more than conquerors this morning in Jesus. Every trial that you face, see it as a trial, never see it as a temptation. You know, I was reminded a few times in the last few weeks about how God will never allow anything greater to come upon you than what you can handle. And sometimes I think, Lord, this is so massive, I just cannot handle this. Why are you sending this my direction? It's just, I can't handle it. And then whenever it comes and it's on you and you're doing all the things you're meant to be doing, and the Spirit's with you, you handle it and it goes. And you think, Lord, I don't know how I came through that, but I thank you for that. So we need to remember that we walk in the confidence of the Spirit, and the Spirit that knows all things and who's guiding us in all ways. We are not being led incidentally into the situations we're in. We're being Spirit-led. So today, in finishing, today you may face a trial or a temptation that you know will either harm you or possibly others. You need to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit that we looked at. You need to ask for His strength. And you need to ask that He helps you to overcome the temptation that Satan is going to put in your way. Because every trial has its temptations. And you've got to make sure that you're praying to overcome temptation. Temptation is the worst thing in the world. It's awful when it comes. But when you conquer it or overcome it, it's fantastic. You've done it. And you've done it because the Spirit of God has helped you to do so. We need to call out to God and ask the Spirit of God to strengthen us to overcome all things. I've repeated that a few times, but it's important. We need to be in prayer, seeking God's will for our lives. This means that we can go from the mountaintop to the desert in a matter of moments. But it is God who's leading you there by the Spirit, and it is God that is bringing you out in victory from there by His Spirit. When we are walking in the Spirit, we are truly walking the path to victory. I want to finish with my 5 points, which really worked for me, that we've got to be obedient, we've got to be assured, obedient to God, assured that God is with us and helping us. Testing, when we're going through the testing, the Spirit of God is leading us and helping us. In power, we're coming out in power, led again by the Spirit. And then we are victorious, and the Spirit of God has led us victorious onto the path of victory that we're looking at. Let's pray. Father God, this morning I thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us always. Thank you, Lord, for that great picture, Lord, where we see Jesus, the Spirit of God coming upon him, and how, Father, you blessed it. And I thank you for everything that Jesus has shown for us and demonstrated to us. Lord, he hasn't left us without any examples. He's left us with all of the examples that we need to look at. And Lord, this morning, I just thank you for everything that you've shown us that we need to use and to have, and that the Spirit of God will direct us in everything that we do. Lord, help us in our trials. Help us overcome any temptations that come into those trials, and help us, Lord, to be victorious as we come out of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.